The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. On today's bonus episode, I've compiled a couple of my past lists from past episodes. Today's episode is going to be the top 10 NFL GOATs from the 2000 and 2010 decades. The top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era here, and now it's really difficult for me. I was really going back and forth between so many players in this one because it was tough. Now, the top three, not tough at all, but beyond that, it was really tough. Especially because I have one player on here who's very polarizing to some, but for me personally, I am a huge fan of his, and you will hear me singing his praises once we get to him. But let's get started with number 10 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, beginning with Alan Faneca, the offensive guard of the Pittsburgh Steelers. From 1998 to 2007, he played for the Jets from 2008 to 2009, and then ended his career in 2010 with the Arizona Cardinals. Really, when you're talking about offensive linemen, this was one of the most consistent offensive linemen of the 2000s era. He barely missed any games. He was such a workhorse, and really ask any quarterback or any running back during his time how much they loved Alan Faneca. He played in 206 games, started 201, so that right there just goes to show you the level of consistency he played out through his entire career. He won Super Bowl 40 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a six-time first team All-Pro, 2001, 2002, and then 2004 through 2007. And like I said, just the level of consistency at the position that he played at, really not a lot of guys did it better than Alan Faneca did, especially in this era of football. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Julius Peppers, defensive end of the Carolina Panthers from 2002 to 2009, then with the Chicago Bears from 2010 to 2013, then with the Packers from 2014 to 2016, and then ended his career with the Panthers 2017 to 2018. He was a beast. This was the definition of a motherfucking beast, defensive end. I mean, this guy was all over the field from day one. His career numbers are 159.5 career sacks, 82 passes deflected, 11 interceptions, 52 forced fumbles, and 6 touchdowns. He was Rookie of the Year in 2002, three-time first-team All-Pro in 2004, 2006, and 2010, and really just was one of the most dominating figures. Every team he played for, he was dominating. He really didn't have a slump. He did suffer some debilitating injuries, of course, as a lot of players do, but I mean, really just the level of consistency that Peppers played out throughout his career, he was just a beast defensive end, and just got, he will be getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this summer as well, so well-deserved. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, I have Brian Urlacher, linebacker of the Chicago Bears, played his entire career with the Chicago Bears from 2000 to 2012. Really one of the most feared, consistent linebackers you have seen in this era. He was so damn good. Career numbers, 41.5 sacks, 22 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, and 78 passes deflected. He was Defensive Player of the Year in 2005, Rookie of the Year in 2000, four-time first-team All-Pro 2001, 2002, 2005, and 2006. And just, I mean, when you talk about the Chicago Bears, there is one position they have always had on lockdown, and that is the linebacker position. You go from Dick Butkus to Mike Singletary to Brian Urlacher. They don't really have anybody right now, but don't be surprised when they get somebody. But Brian Urlacher was just that dude. And it's funny, too, because there's a lot of defensive guys in my top 10. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about another one here, but these defenders in the 2000s era were just fucking awesome. And Brian Urlacher was one of those dudes. And I can't believe I had to put him down at 8, but I did, just because there's a couple other dudes above him that I think just made a little bit more impact. Plus, they got Super Bowls. And so let's move on to number 7, because he is a linebacker as well. Number 7 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Derrick Brooks, linebacker of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, played his entire career with Tampa from 1995 to 2008. His career numbers, 1,715 tackles, 13 and a half sacks. So that's not a lot, but I mean, Derrick Brooks' impact on the field was not in really just like sacks and interceptions and all that, even though he did, you know, he had 25 interceptions, 24 forced fumbles, and 7 touchdowns, but it was just, he was everywhere on the field. He was the leader of this defense, and if you don't remember this Tampa Bay defense, this was one of the most insane, hard-hitting, just stacked. Warren Sapp, Derrick Brooks, Rondé Barber, John Lynch. Oh, I could just go on about this defense. I loved this Tampa Bay defense. As a matter of fact, I'm actually about to watch that Super Bowl between the Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just watched Tom Brady's first Super Bowl last night, which is just funny to watch because, you know, I've watched his entire career, and now I'm going back and seeing him and Peyton in their early days. But anyways, we'll actually get to them later on in this list, as a matter of fact. But Derrick Brooks, God, he was such an amazing player. And just to watch him, the way he led this defense, he was the leader of this defense, even though you wouldn't say he was the most talented on the defense, but he was that dude. He won Super Bowl 37 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Defensive Player of the Year in 2002. Also five-time first-team All-Pro, 99, 2000, 2002, 2004, and 2005. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, this is the polarizing character I'm talking about. I put him here. I knew he wasn't going to be in the top because, honestly, like I said, the top 3, I feel like you had, honestly, the top 4 are the top 4. And then 6 and 5, I really, really struggled with. I really only put number 5 above number 6 simply because he owns a couple of NFL records that still stand to this day. But number 6 is Terrell Owens. I loved Terrell Owens. Played wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers from 96 to 2003, Philadelphia Eagles from 2004 to 2005, my Dallas Cowboys from 2006 to 2008, Buffalo Bills from 2009, and Cincinnati Bengals in 2010. I loved T.O. Fucking loved T.O. Not even when, just as a Cowboy. I actually loved him when he was an Eagle. I just couldn't root for him because he played for the Eagles. But I love me some T.O. I always loved T.O. I didn't care how much of a brash asshole he was. But his personality aside, on the field, oh my God, he was so good. One of the greatest route runners. Just watch the dude run a route. It is just beautiful. Just to kind of see the separation he gets just off of his movements alone. But, you know, he would take hits over the middle. I mean, he had some great catches, especially with the Niners in some of these playoff games. You know, of course, he played on a broken freaking leg in the Super Bowl with the Eagles. And then, of course, I loved him with the Cowboys. One of the most devastating days for me as a Cowboys fan is when we released him. I was so pissed. I will never forget. I woke up in the morning, I turned on ESPN, and it said, breaking news, the Cowboys have released Terrell Owens, and I was pissed because I love T.O. I fucking loved T.O. Career numbers for T.O., 15,934 yards and 153 touchdowns. Five-time first-team All-Pro from 2000 to 2002, 2004, and 2007. He led the league in receiving yards in 2001, 2002, and 2006. And like I said, he played the Super Bowl for the Eagles on basically a broken leg. He broke his leg, like, I think a month before the Super Bowl. And then just worked his ass off to just get healthy enough to play. And he actually, if the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl, he would have been MVP because he actually had the best performance on the field. It's just the Patriots got the win. But I love T.O. I don't think a lot of people even consider him to be one of the greats just because they think he was a poor teammate. And but for me, I don't really give a shit about that. I think he was an excellent football player on the field. I loved him. And like I said, devastating day for me when the Cowboys released him. Still to this day, I am fucking pissed off at the Cowboys for releasing T.O. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Randy Moss, wide receiver of the Minnesota Vikings from 1998 to 2004, Oakland Raiders from 2005 to 2006, New England Patriots from 2007 to 2010, back to Minnesota in 2010, then traded to the Titans in 2010, and then ended his career with the Niners in 2012. What I find amusing about Randy Moss is he basically was like T.O. They both were excellent wide receivers. Randy Moss was more of the guy who's going to just outrun everybody on the field, whereas T.O. was an excellent route runner and really was going to be stronger and better than everybody on the field. But Randy Moss had the exact same type of issues off of the field and was kind of a nuisance to certain locker rooms. Now, I think he rehabbed his image when he went to New England, and so that's why I think a lot of people don't put him in the same category as him. But Randy Moss, basically, personality-wise, same dude as T.O. But they both were excellent on the field. Like I said, the only reason why I put Randy Moss above Terrell Owens is because Randy Moss owns NFL records. A couple of the NFL records he owns, most receiving touchdowns in a season, 23, and then most touchdowns in a season by a rookie, 17. So that those were the stats that put him above T.O. to me. But his career numbers, 15,292. T.O. has 15,934. So, like, they're right in the same wheelhouse there. Then touchdowns, Randy Moss has 156 career touchdowns. T.O. has 153 career touchdowns. Right there, there's more statistics that are exactly identical. Randy Moss, rookie of the year in 98, four-time first-team All-Pro. He was first-team All-Pro in 98, 2000, 2003, and 2007. And then he led the league in receiving touchdowns in 98, 2000, 2003, 2007, 2009. I mean, that's what Randy Moss did. Not only was Randy Moss going to outrun you, but the dude just scored touchdowns. He and Tom Brady were just such a beautiful duo together. I mean, Randy Moss was great with anybody at quarterback. He would have been fantastic with me at quarterback. I mean, when he had Dante Culpepper, he was great. I think he had Cunningham for a bit. I could be wrong, but I think he had Cunningham at the very tail end of his career. He might have played with Warren Moon as well, but you know, with Culpepper and Tom Brady, he had some great days with those two at quarterback. But Randy Moss, he had a fantastic career as well. Like I said, you really could interchange him and T.O. They had their differences. Like I said, T.O. was more of an amazing route runner, where Randy Moss was just going to blow right by you and everybody and then score touchdowns. But they were both amazing wide receivers, and they were definitely the two wide receivers that dominated this era of football. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Ray Lewis, linebacker of the Baltimore Ravens from 1996 to 2012. So he also spent his entire career with one team, just like the other linebackers I mentioned. His career stats, 41.5 sacks, 67 passes deflected, 31 interceptions, 17 forced fumbles, and 20 fumble returns. But Ray Lewis also was one of those dudes who wasn't felt by just sacking the quarterback or making tackles or whatever. He was the leader. He was the heartbeat of this team. And I mean, when you watch Ray Lewis play, he motivated me through the fucking TV. So I can't even imagine what it was like playing with the dude. He did win two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 35 and Super Bowl 47. He was the MVP of 35, Defensive Player of the Year in 2000 and 2003, seven-time first-team All-Pro, 99 through 2000, 2003, 2004, 2008, and 2009. Career tackles, 90, he led the league in tackles in 97, 99, and 2000. And then he also owned some NFL records, for tackles, combined tackles in a seat for a career 2059, career solo tackles, 1,568, and then, the most tackles in one season, 156. So obviously if you are going to go near Ray Lewis, you better be on alert, because the dude is probably going to tackle your ass. But Ray Lewis just was that dude. I loved Ray Lewis. He is one of my favorite football players of all time. It was hard to not even put him at number one. But once I get to these top three, you're just going to be like, well, duh, who could put anybody above these three? So let's see who the top three are, beginning with number three on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, LaDainian Tomlinson, running back of the San Diego Chargers from 2001 to 2009, and then the New York Jets in 2010 to 2011. And I mean, no running back dominated the league like LaDainian did. He was so great through the air. He was so great on the ground. He was so difficult to tackle. He also scored nothing but touchdowns, just like Randy Moss. His career numbers, 13,684 rushing yards, 145 rushing touchdowns, 4,772 receiving yards and 17 receiving touchdowns. He owns NFL record for the most touchdowns in one season with 28, most touchdowns from scrimmage in a season with 31, and most consecutive games with a touchdown with 18 consecutive games in the touchdown. And those records still stand today. He also has the most points in a season with 186, which is also an NFL record. He was MVP in 2006, Offensive Player of the Year in 2006, and three-time first-team All-Pro in 2004, 2006, and 2007, and just an all-around dominating force. He just was so good to watch. And, I mean, really, he was the heartbeat of that team, and I just loved LaDainian. He was just so great, and there really hasn't been a running back really as diverse as him. Because, like I said, he could go run right up the middle. He could run on the outside. He could pass the ball. He could catch the ball. He could run for days. I mean, he was just such an all around great running back throughout his entire career. The only times he slumped was when he was injured, and that's the case for everybody who plays sports. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Peyton Manning, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts from 1998 to 2011, and then with the Denver Broncos from 2012 to 2015. He won a Super Bowl in 41 and Super Bowl 50, so he won one with the Colts and won one with the Broncos. He was Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 41. His career numbers, 71,940 passing yards and 539 passing touchdowns. Some of the records he owns, most touchdowns in a season, 55. Most passing yards in a season, 5,477. And most touchdowns in a game with 7 touchdowns in a game. He is a 5-time NFL MVP in 2003, 2004, 2008, 2009, and 2013. Offensive Player of the Year in 2004 and 2013. 7-time first-team All-Pro from 2003 to 2005, 2008, 2009, 2012, and 2013. Honestly, if you watched Peyton Manning's career, obviously, this dude just dominated from day one. He was so unstoppable. There were so many comebacks he had. It was like, even if the Colts or the Broncos were down by like 28 points, you could not count out a Peyton Manning team unless the clock hit zero, because that dude could just score points like it was no tomorrow. Even if they were down, he would just score and score and score. And when he went to the Broncos, the best year of his career was, I can't remember what year exactly it was, but the year he threw the 55 touchdowns, that was with the Denver Broncos. That was one of the greatest years he had, and basically we all had written him off because of the injuries, because, you know, the Colts released him. Yeah, he's just going to go have his last hurrah in Denver, ends up winning the Super Bowl. Now, when they won the Super Bowl, it was actually Peyton's worst career, a very, very tough year to watch, in my personal opinion, but because he just struggled so hard that year. But the year he threw 55 touchdowns, like, he was just tearing everybody up. And that's just what Peyton did. That's what he did his entire career. And he really just dominated. The only reason why he's not number one is because he just fell short so many times in the postseason, especially in this this beginning 2000s era. So who's number one in my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era? Who the fuck else is number one besides Tom goddamn Brady? Quarterback of the New England Patriots from 2000 to 2019, and then Tampa Bay Buccaneers from 2020 to 2022. 7-time Super Bowl champion, 36, 38, 39, 44, 51, 53, and 55. 5-time Super Bowl MVP, not even going to name off which 5 he was a Super Bowl MVP of. Because here's the thing when it comes to Tom Brady, I've already rattled off his accolades on about 25 different shows. So I'm not going to rattle off every single thing about Tom Brady. I mean, really, we all know the dude is the GOAT. If you don't know he's the GOAT, you are just hating and you just are stupid. You just don't know. But he's also a 3-time league MVP in 2007, 2010, and 2017. Offensive Player of the Year in 2007 and 2010. 3-time first-team All-Pro in 2007, 2010, and 2017. Career numbers, 89,214 yards and 649 touchdowns. And also, those yards, that right there also put him above Peyton to me. Because obviously, the reason why I put him above Peyton Manning is he owned Peyton Manning in the postseason. They played head-to-head. So we know, we saw this song and dance. And I'm sorry, y'all. The Patriots won every time. Hate it or love it. Cry, bitch, make up all the fucking lies you want about cheating and yada, yada, yada. They still fucking won. And here's some numbers that I looked at, and I was like, well, that's also putting Brady above him. Now, I know Brady's career lasted slightly longer than Peyton's, but still, at the rate that Peyton was throwing the football at the beginning of his career compared to Tom, it's crazy that Tom's numbers are so much more elevated than Peyton's. But like I said, Peyton's career passing yards, 71,940. Tom Brady's, 89,214. That is a huge gap right there. And then career touchdowns, Peyton Manning, 539, Tom Brady, 649. Once again, huge gap there. So I'm sorry, y'all. You can hate it or love it. Tom Brady is the GOAT, and he was absolutely the GOAT of this era. I mean, he started it. He won his first Super Bowl in 2001 and then went on to win like 95 other Super Bowls after that. So I'm sorry, y'all. Tom Brady is the GOAT, not only of just history, but also the GOAT of the 2000s era, for sure. So, my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, number 10, Alan Faneca, number 9, Julius Peppers, number 8, Brian Urlacher, number 7, Derek Brooks, number 6, Terrell Owens, number 5, Randy Moss, number 4, Ray Lewis, number 3, LaDainian Tomlinson, number 2, Peyton Manning, and number 1, Tom Brady. Week, I have the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s. Era. And this is going to be the last one because obviously we are in 2024 and I can't really rank the 2020s era. I mean, obviously we would put Patrick Mahomes number one, or at least I would put Patrick Mahomes number one, but it's way too early to be ranking an era of the 2020s when we're only 4 years into it, technically 5 years once it begins in July. But so this is going to be the last one of my top 10 NFL GOATs of each era. I broke them all down. So now we are at the 2010s. And not going to lie, this one was really difficult for me too, because there's some good dudes in this one. And, you know, at the end here with like 9, 8, you're going to be like, dude, those guys are that far behind. But then once I get to the top three, it to me, number one was easy, of course. But then like 2 and 3... you really could have gone back and forth between them, but like at first I was like, do I really want to put these guys all at three, the top three? I mean, we got some other, but you know, when you just lay it all out there and you do the research, yeah, those are the top guys. So let's get it started with number 10 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, Richard Sherman. Cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks from 2011 to 2017, San Francisco 49ers from 2018 to 2020, and then ended his career with the Buccaneers in 2021. I don't think a lot of people would put him in their top 10 GOATs, but when you actually break it down, Richard Sherman statistically is the best cornerback of this era. Imagine that. Darrell Revis played in this era. You know what I'm saying? And there were lots of shutdown corners, but Richard Sherman statistically is the best cornerback of this era. I mean, he locked it down. He is a tough dude to make a catch on. He, of course, won Super Bowl 48 with the Seattle Seahawks. He is a 3-time first-team All-Pro from 2012 to 2014. His career numbers are 116 pass deflections, 37 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles, 7 fumble recoveries, and 3 defensive touchdowns. And, I mean, you just didn't want to throw it to Richard Sherman. And also, he's a part of one of my favorite all-time moments ever. Because I've always loved Richard Sherman because he's the world's biggest shit talker, and he can back it up every single time. And in his heyday, when he was a 3-time first team All-Pro, that Seattle Seahawks defense was motherfucking amazing, and Sherm was the top dude on that team. And I will never forget, because they had some battles between the Seahawks and the Niners, and there were a couple playoff games, but my favorite, Aaron, you know, it's a last minute play, a last second play, Richard Sherman on Michael Crabtree. And Sherman would win that matchup every single time. And I remember before this particular playoff game, Sherman's talking shit all week. Michael Crabtree ain't shit. You can't do nothing. Well, Michael Crabtree wasn't shit. And Aaron Andrews goes to interview Richard Sherman after this playoff game, and I will never forget it. So, Sherm, how does it feel?
Whoa. Don't you put that sorry-ass Michael Crabtree on me. That's what you get. That's what you get with that sorry-ass Michael Crabtree.
And he just goes off. I laughed so hard. Still to this day, you could put that shit on right now, and I am going to be on the floor laughing because I loved it. Because for one, I hated Michael Crabtree. I hated Michael Crabtree. And let me tell you why. I hated Michael Crabtree. If you are a Texas Longhorns fan, you know why I hated Michael Crabtree. But years ago, I believe it was the, I want to say 2007 season. It might have been 2008, but I'm pretty sure it was 2007. It might have been 2008. Either way, it was in this early 2000s era. Texas Longhorns versus Texas Tech. Longhorns, they're having a great season. They're well on track to a national title. They're about to get this win over over Texas Tech, one of our rivals. And all of a sudden, Michael Crabtree makes this amazing catch. Last second amazing catch to get the game-winning touchdown over the Texas Longhorns. And it would cost the Longhorns a shot at the national title that year. That is why I hate Michael Crabtree. I know. It's a stupid reason to hate Michael Crabtree, but it's a sports fan reason to hate Michael Crabtree. So whenever Richard Sherman would talk shit about Michael Crabtree or shut him down or lock him down, and then when he had that rant, oh, God, I fucking loved it. Because, Sherm, I hated Michael Crabtree just as much as you did. And when you did that shit to him, especially that rant, it put a nice big old smile on my face and warmed the cockles of my heart. But Richard Sherman, absolutely a fantastic cornerback, and number 10 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, Adrian Peterson. I know. Adrian Peterson all the way down at number 9. When I was writing it out, I even said, no, Adrian Peterson all the way down at number 9. Because I'm sorry, folks, if you did not see Adrian Peterson's career, you do not know how dominating this motherfucker was. So he was a running back with the Minnesota Vikings from 2007 to 2016. And then after the 16 season, he kind of journeyed around through a few other teams as well. No longer in the league. He didn't officially retire. He even, I think, said just as early as a couple weeks ago that he'd be willing to play again. So he hasn't technically retired, but Adrian Peterson, nowhere near what he used to be. But in his heyday, there was no more dominating running back in the league. He had some of the greatest runs. As a matter of fact, in his heyday, I thought if anybody could come close to breaking or even touching Emmitt Smith's all-time leading rushing record, I thought it would be Adrian Peterson just because he was so good. He was so fast. He could break through the middle. He could run through the outside. He is just one of the greatest all-around running backs we have ever fucking seen. His career numbers, 14,918 rushing yards, 120 touchdowns, 2,474 receiving yards, and 6 receiving touchdowns. He was the MVP of the 2012 season, Offensive Player of the Year in the 2012 season, Rookie of the Year in 2007. So the dude hit the scene from day fucking one. 4-time first team All-Pro in 2008, 2009, 2012, and 2015. Led the league in rushing 3 times in 2008, 2012, and 2015. And then led the league in rushing touchdowns in 2009 and 2015. And I mean, really, nobody dominated the running back position like Adrian Peterson. As a matter of fact, I really don't even think in the league today. I would say Derrick Henry's probably the closest, but in their prime, I think I would take Adrian Peterson over Derrick Henry. That's a tough one, but I think I would take Peterson over Henry. I love them both. They both serve the same purpose. They both are just crazy running backs, but I think I would take Peterson over Derrick Henry just because he was very explosive, and just the way he dominated the league. I mean, he was the MVP, for Christ's sake, and he just was dominating. It's just there's no other way to put it. But he's all the way down at number 9, and I really, that was tough, but everybody above him is slightly better in a way. So at number 8 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, Calvin Johnson. wide receiver of the Detroit Lions from 2007 to 2015, and there was no more dominating wide receiver in this era than Calvin Johnson. You literally could just throw up the ball to him, and he pretty much was guaranteed to catch it. Even if he had five dudes on him, he would outjump all of them. And even if he didn't outjump all of them, if he just got his big-ass hands on the ball, he was going to take that shit down. I mean, they called him Megatron for a reason, because the dude was just a big-ass motherfucker and would just go up and snatch every pass that came his way. Career numbers, 11,619 receiving yards and 83 receiving touchdowns. This is why I put him above Peterson, because I did. I really went back and forth between these two, because I was like, can I really put Calvin Johnson over Adrian Peterson? And I was like, well, these two NFL records, yeah, I could put him above Adrian Peterson. He does own a couple of NFL records. He owns the NFL records for the most receiving yards in a season, 1,964 receiving yards. He almost had a 2,000 receiving yard season. It's crazy he didn't. And then he also has the NFL record for the most consecutive 100-yard games, and he has 8 consecutive 100-yard games. 3-time first-team All-Pro from 2011 to 2013, and led the league in receiving yards in 2011 and 2012. And the dude was just an absolute all-around beast. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, Joe Thomas, the offensive tackle of the Cleveland Browns. He was the Browns tackle from 2007 to 2017. And I know, some of you think, how are you going to put an offensive lineman above Adrian Peterson and Calvin Johnson? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Joe Thomas, first of all, played with the Cleveland Browns when, A, they didn't get one win in the season. Not one win. And then that following season, after they didn't get one win, they only got, I think, one or two wins. So this guy has been a part of one of the most losing teams ever and still was played at the utmost consistent level ever. He played and started every game he ever played in. 167 games played, 167 games started. That is practically unheard of. He also owns a NFL record for the most consecutive snaps ever taken. 10,363 consecutive snaps taken. He is a 6-time first-team All-Pro from 2009 to 2011 and then 2013 to 2015. The level of consistency at the offensive line position is Joe fucking Thomas. And I have no issues putting him above Adrian Peterson and Calvin Johnson. Even though those two were so dominating, you got to show some love to the offensive line, especially when you played for such a terrible ass team. And he never complained. He was happy. He's still happy to be a Cleveland Brown. Now, obviously, he's not in the league, but I mean, he still reps the Browns because he played for them his entire career. But yeah, Joe Thomas was the epitome of an amazing offensive lineman. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, Von Miller, or as they say on South Park, Von Miller. Yes, Von Miller. I can't help but say it like that. Ever since that South Park episode aired where he says, Mr. Von Miller, that is how I always say Von Miller's name. Linebacker of the Denver Broncos from 2011 to 2021, played with the Rams in 2021, and is now still currently in the league with the Buffalo Bills. He won Super Bowl 50 and was also the Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 50, and then won Super Bowl 56 with the Los Angeles Rams. He won Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos, of course, and man, you want to talk about one of the most just, I mean, as far as a defender, like taking over a game, Super Bowl 50, turn that on. And you will see, because he took out Cam Newton. And that Carolina Panthers team in that Super Bowl 50, they only lost one game in that season. Cam Newton he just went off. He had some of the most amazing games. He was the MVP of that year. He could not be stopped. And Von Miller stopped his ass. He had Cam Newton looking like he was boo-boo the fucking fool all day long. And it's a beautiful performance from a defensive player. Because, you know, it's always all about offense. But when you watch a defensive player take over a game the way Von Miller did in Super Bowl 50, yeah, that was crazy to watch. His career numbers so far, 123.5 sacks, 27 forced fumbles, 9 fumble recoveries, 24 passes deflected, 2 interceptions, two touchdowns. Rookie of the Year in 2011, 3-time first team All-Pro, 2012, 2015, and 2016. And as I said, just so dominating. Not as dominating as it used to be, of course, because of course you're going to lose a step as the years go on. But Super Bowl 50, wow. And I mean, he was so good in college too. I remember when he played with A&M. Oh God, Von Miller, excellent fucking linebacker. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, J.J. Watt, defensive end of the Houston Texans from 2011 to 2020, and then ended his career with the Arizona Cardinals in 2022. His career numbers, 114.5 sacks, 70 passes deflected, 27 forced fumbles, and 17 fumbled recoveries. He has an NFL record, 20-plus sack seasons, 2 of them in a row, so he's got the most for that. And that was all he did. He was a sack master. And his hands were so big. Like, that's why he's got so many freaking passes deflected. Because, like, he just would put his big-ass hand up and, boom, knock that shit down. He also was the Defensive Player of the Year in 2012, 2014, and 2015. 5-time first-team All-Pro in 2012 through 2015 and then in 2018. And just, honestly, the one and only thing that stopped J.J. Watt from playing a game was injuries. That was it. The dude suffered some of the most insane fucking injuries. He had some bad shoulder injuries, elbow injuries, back injuries. This guy just, he just suffered some really debilitating injuries. It's crazy to think what his numbers actually would be if he didn't suffer some of these injuries that he did. But man, that was it. That was all that fucking stopped J.J. Watt. I mean, he was the epitome of what a beast defensive end could be. And just he was fantastic to watch. That's for damn sure. Then at number 4 in my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, Aaron Donald, defensive tackle for the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams, because that's how long he had been around. He was drafted when the Rams were in St. Louis and retired this year while they were in Los Angeles. He played with them from 2014 and, like I said, just retired this year. So this was his last year. He won Super Bowl 56 with the Rams. His career numbers, 111 sacks, 24 forced fumbles, 7 fumbled recoveries, 21 passes deflected. Arguably, one of the greatest defensive tackles ever. Arguably the greatest defensive tackle ever. I mean, his domination is just straight up beast mode. Defensive Player of the Year in 2017, 2018, and 2020. Rookie of the Year in 2014. 8-time first-team All-Pro from 2015 through 2021. Yeah, 2015 through 2021, and then in 2023. Like, his entire career, he was an All-Pro. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say the 2022 season, he was injured that year, and that's why he wasn't an All-Pro that year. But, I mean, real talk. Nobody dominated the way Aaron Donald did. You could not get past him in the middle. And he was fantastic to watch. And I feel very privileged to have seen such an amazing player play this career. Now, let's get to the top 3 here of the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s. Because I did. I was like, when I first just started putting together the list, I'm like, am I really going to put 3 quarterbacks up at the top? And then when you look at their stats, you go, oh, yeah, you got to put the 3 quarterbacks up at the top. And these 3 quarterbacks, they dominated the 2010s, beginning with number 3, Drew Brees. Played quarterback for the San Diego Chargers from 2001 to 2005 and had this horrible shoulder injury on the last game of the season in 2005 with San Diego Chargers. And it was his, he was going into free agency, and you just felt so bad for him because it was, I think it was a rotator cuff injury. He ended up having to have surgery, and not a lot of teams took a chance on him except for the New Orleans Saints. And it is so insane to just think how Drew Brees turned his career around once he signed with the Saints and played with the Saints from 2006 to 2020. He goes from being just a regular old quarterback in San Diego. I mean, he had his moments, but nobody was looking at Drew Brees and going, oh yeah, this guy, he's going to end up being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Goes to New Orleans and literally becomes one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You take a look at his statistics. I couldn't even write down all of Drew Brees' fucking accomplishments in the league. I was like, Jesus. I've always marveled at the turnaround he had when he went to the Saints. But then when you just put it down on paper and look at what he did, I'm like, fuck. Drew Brees is a badass motherfucker, and good for you for not, like, falling back and, oh, woe is me, nobody take chance on me. No, man, he, because, you know, if you don't remember, this was, he signed when Hurricane Katrina happened. And so, like, they had to play a season outside of New Orleans. And then they came back to New Orleans, and it was just one of the biggest things for the Saints. And then they would go on to win the Super Bowl, so they would win Super Bowl 44. He would become MVP. But just the turnaround that not only he had, but he turned around the New Orleans Saints. Now, I'm 39, okay, y'all? 39. So I've seen a lot of football. The New Orleans Saints pre-Drew Brees were one of the biggest laughing stocks ever invented. They invented putting bags on your fucking head. That's how embarrassing that team used to be. Then Drew Brees signs. You got Sean Payton becoming the coach. And all of a sudden, this team becomes a Super Bowl fucking champion team. Like, who? No, none of us, when I was a kid, you would laugh if you would even say, oh, the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. It would be a freaking joke saying the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl, and the Saints have won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees' career numbers. Passing yards, 80,358 passing yards, 571 touchdowns, 752 rushing yards, and 25 rushing touchdowns. Here are a few of Drew Brees' NFL records that he owns. Most highest completion percentage in a season with 74.4% completion percentage in 2018. Then he also has the highest completion percentage in a game with 96.7%. Then he also is tied with Peyton Manning for the most TDs in a game with 7 touchdowns scored in a game. He also has an NFL record for the most touchdowns thrown in consecutive games. He had 54 straight games with a touchdown. 54! What the fuck? And then the most 5,000-yard seasons. 5. Drew Brees had 5 seasons where he passed for at least 5,000 yards. How crazy is that? And then he was also Offensive Player of the Year in 2008 and 2011. But, I mean, honestly, Drew Brees just turned around his career and turned from a chump to a guy who was just going to be a journeyman, who probably was going to go back up some people and then just, you know, go nowhere, turns into a Hall of Famer. Like, how crazy is that story? Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s, Aaron Rodgers. Was quarterback of the Green Bay Packers from 2005 to 2022, and then, of course, was with the New York Jets this year, but only managed to make it through 5 snaps because he unfortunately tore his Achilles tendon at the beginning of the season. But he is still in the league. He did win Super Bowl 45 with the Green Bay Packers and was Super Bowl MVP. His career numbers so far, 59,055 passing yards, 475 passing touchdowns, 3,466 rushing yards, and 35 rushing touchdowns. Right now, he's got an NFL record of the career passer rating. His career passer rating right now is a 103.6. He also has the NFL record for the highest single season passer rating at 122.5. That was in the 2011 season. And then also the lowest interception percentage in, which was 0.3% is how many interceptions he threw in the 2018 season. And that's the thing with Aaron Rodgers. One of the most accurate quarterbacks ever. And he also just makes it seem easy. There are so many times I've watched an Aaron Rodgers game and I'm just like, does he even like try when he's passing the ball? It's like he just like, boop. Yep, I passed it. Yeah, I just threw it all the way across the field. And it kind of feels like there's at least five times where he has just won the game on the final second of the play of the game. And it's like, whoa, how do you do that? And he does. He has so many games like that. He's a four-time NFL MVP. He won the MVP in 2011, 2014, 2020, and 2021. Four-time first-team All-Pro, 2011, 2014, 2020, and 2021. And just still doing it. I mean, obviously, it's going to be interesting to see what happens coming back from an Achilles injury, because that is not easy to come back from. But he is a fantastic quarterback and absolutely dominated the 2010s era. Obviously, he won two MVPs in 2020 and 2021. So he still bleeds over into this era as well. But like I said, nobody is more accurate than Aaron Rodgers. Nobody is able to make, I mean, some of the throws he makes, it's just marvelous. I mean, the dude was just, he was born to throw a football and he does it perfect. And then at number one on my top 10 NFL goats of the 2010s, the only repeat from the previous list is, of course, Tom Brady, quarterback of the New England Patriots from 2000 to 2019, and then played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from 2020 to 22. And I'm not going to continue to rattle off on all the Tom Brady stats, because not only did I do it the last episode, but I've done it about at least five other episodes where I talk about him. And honestly, I feel like at this point, we all get it. Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Seven-time Super Bowl MVP. That cannot be overlooked. Three-time NFL MVP. The guy is just money. One of the greatest comeback players of all time. You know, he if he was down, didn't fucking matter ever. You could never count Tom Brady out. He always played. He lasted for a long time. I mean, come on. Who's greater than Tom Brady? Like I keep saying, you can hate him all you want, but if you think he is not the GOAT, you is el stupido, and you should not even discuss football, especially with me. But yeah, like I said, I'm not going to rattle off on all his stats, because I feel like at this point, we already all know Tom Brady owns just about every single fucking stat you could own in the NFL. So, my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2010s. Number 10, Richard Sherman. Number 9, Adrian Peterson. Number 8, Calvin Johnson. Number 7, Joe Thomas. Number 6, Von Miller. Number 5, J.J. Watt. Number 4, Aaron Donald. Number 3, Drew Brees. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers. And number 1, the GOAT, Tom fucking Brady. And then also, that's crazy. That's crazy. We're done with all these GOAT eras. I've broken every single era down from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and now the 2010s. Did it all. And it was fun. It was fun as hell to kind of look up the stats on these guys and see, just actually see what their careers were like on paper. And it really is very eye-opening once you actually start to do the research on each player and try and break it down like this.